Well, hey, today is the second week of our Jesus series. Last week we talked about Jesus as friend, and this morning I want to talk about Jesus as teacher. Now, as we begin, I have a question for you to get the blood pumping again. I thought we were beyond the cold, but obviously it feels like we're still in the throes of it. So let's think about the teachers that we've had in our lives for a moment. And if I were to ask you to think back of your most memorable teachers, maybe they were a school teacher, a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was a coach, whoever this teacher might have been, what was it about them as a teacher that makes them memorable to you? What characteristics did their lives portray? And again, just throw them out there. Yeah. Kindness. Yep. They went off book. So they didn't just teach to the test. Where was this? Where was I? Enough said, right. What else? Their enthusiasm, yep. Totally. Yep. What? Ability to listen. Yep. Giving of their time. Role models. Yeah, someone to look up to. Encouraging. Enthusiasm, wisdom. Yep. Oh, dedication. That was three answers. You can't give three answers. You got to limit yourself to two here. Come on. Yeah, their dedication. Dedication to us as students and probably to the material as well. Yeah, anything else? All right, so let's talk about Jesus as teacher, because I think everything that you all just mentioned, that's who Jesus was. When we read the Gospels, when we think about Jesus as teacher, dedication, he went off book. He had disciples looking at the clouds, enthusiasm, kindness, encouraging. Yeah, I mean, Jesus had it all. And sometimes, remember, we're doing this series because I want us to look at all the different facets of who Jesus was. Sometimes we get very pigeonholed into looking at Jesus in one particular way, but the Gospels provide us a much fuller picture of Jesus. He had different roles at different times. So today I want to look at three different roles of what I would see as a good teacher, because there's some bad teachers too. I'm sure you can all think back and think some of the teachers you had and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I'm out of their class. But today I want to look at three roles that a good teacher has in the life of a student. And I think Jesus embodies all three of these. So the first, a good teacher opens your eyes to new ways of seeing the world. If you have your Bibles, because it will not be on screen, and today I'm obviously way more legit with this giant Bible I'm carrying. I mean, I feel the weight of this thing. I'm like, yeah, feeling spiritual today, baby. Gotta carry this thing. Can I borrow this for good? My goodness. What? I just need a pulpit? Yeah, we'll get there. We'll see. Matthew chapter 13. And now, one of the probably Jesus' favorite way to teach is in parables. And a parable comes from a Greek word meaning along or beside. So a parable takes two different ideas and places them alongside each other. It takes an idea that's very, very familiar. This is why when you read the parables, there's common everyday things that Jesus talks about, like farming, like the clouds in the sky, like a king, things that everyone would have known exactly what Jesus is talking about. And then he flips the script. He takes something familiar and then he makes it unfamiliar. and then he disappears and has you to go figure out the meaning of it on your own. I mean, very rarely do we see Jesus actually give an explanation for these parables. He teaches, drops the mic, leaves, and everyone's like, what just happened? I thought I knew about seeds, but now I realize seeds go way deeper than my understanding of a seed. So here we are in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Which indeed, mustard seed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Think about this. You're listening to Jesus. He's teaching in these parables. He's teaching about the kingdom of God. He's teaching about who God is. How do you experience the inbreaking of God into this world? People are following Jesus. They're listening to his teachings. At this point in the story, they are demanding a sign. Give us something big. Give us something miraculous. We know how God works. God shows up in the big, in the giant. God shows up in the miracles, the moments when the clouds part and something breaks through into this earth in a way in which it's not supposed to happen. And Jesus teaches a parable about God, about the kingdom of heaven being like a seed. Everyone is looking big, and Jesus goes small. You've all been given a seed this morning, I believe. What Jesus essentially is saying is God, the kingdom of heaven, is found in one of the smallest things that you can imagine. You are looking for God in all the wrong places. You're looking for the big. You're looking for the moment when the skies open up, but God is actually found in the normal, in the everyday, in the minor details of life. You know, the disciples, Jesus is saying, hey, you guys, you're all looking for God, and you think he's over there or out there, but rather God is right here in front of you in all the normal things you experience throughout the day. Hold that seed up in front of you. Because then Jesus goes and said, hey, this mustard seed, it grows into this massive tree, and then all the birds start perching in this tree. The very small things of your life, that's where the potential is. That's where the life is found. Think about this thing you're holding in your hands. Think about how small it is. But yet, think about, you put that in the ground, you water it a little bit, you give it a couple of weeks, it's going to start growing. The life is found in the normal, everyday moments. We are so busy looking out there, looking for the big. We're moving so fast in life, trying to get the next hit of whatever it is that we want, the thing that keeps us going. And Jesus is like, hey, slow down. Fix your eyes on the small. If you would simply pay attention to your life and the normal routines that you go through, you would find the miraculous right there in those moments. You are demanding a sign. God's already given you a sign. It's right there in front of you. What Jesus is doing when he's teaching this parable, he's offering all the listeners, us included, as we read this now 2,000 years later, a new way to look at the world, a new way to understand God. I mean, sometimes I look around at what religion has become in our culture, what religion has become in our country, and religion sometimes, it gets fixated on going as big as you can possibly get. Is that where God is found? Is God found when we keep going and moving as quickly as we possibly can, thinking, I got to catch up to God. I got to do more, because if I do more, well, then I'll find God in my doing. And Jesus is like, no, that's not how it works. Actually, you slow things down. You shrink it. That's where God is found. That's where the life is found. When you give it time, when you cultivate patience, you will come to discover all the life that's already right there in your hands. Maybe you need to hold on to that seed this week. And you need it to be a reminder for you to slow it down, to look for God in the small. Stop looking out there and start looking right here in front of you. I guarantee you, the presence of God that you're all desiring, it's already present. It's already there. If we would just breathe, whoa, look at what I already have. Look at how God is already at work. It's a whole new way of seeing the world than this culture of speed and bigness that we exist in. And capturing your attention with are we at 6 second attention span? Is that what we're down to now? Less than a goldfish. 6 seconds. And Instagram is, we were watching a movie last night. It was made, like the 90s, I think it was. And Steph commented about, oh my goodness, the beginning of these movies in the 90s, they take forever to get to the beginning of the movie. Have you ever noticed this? If you watch an old movie, there's that song in the beginning, all the credits in it. And we're like, this just wouldn't fly these days. And she said, hey, this is the time when we used to go make popcorn. I'm like, oh, we got like 5 minutes. We'll go make popcorn now before the movie actually starts. There's none of that anymore. It goes right into the movie because your attention span is limited. Jesus is saying, like, hey, mustard seed, grow your attention span and you will come to discover God. Go a little slower and you'll find that God's already right there in front of you. Which then brings us to the second role of a good teacher, is a good teacher invites you deeper into truth. Notice this parable. like a mustard seed, it's the least of the seeds. When it's grown, it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Have you ever thought about that before? Mustard seed becomes a tree so that the birds nest in its branches. Have you ever thought about that phrase? What do you think that means? See, and then Jesus just, he goes. That's it. Because now it forces us to wrestle with the teaching. What if you were to go home and sit with that for 30 minutes? You just hold that seed in your hand. You work it back and forth in your hand. Think about the life, the potential that's right there. What does this mean? This could grow, and then birds will now begin to nest. See, I'm not going to give you an answer for that. Maybe the point isn't that there is one specific answer, but maybe the point is that you would go and wrestle with what Jesus is saying so that you can discover the answer on your own. And that takes time. Maybe you want to think about that question this week. What does it mean for the birds to nest in its branches? And then you want to find someone, and then you want to talk about what you think, and they'll tell you what they think, and that together you'll come to a shared understanding of what Jesus is saying. Jesus would then go and send the disciples, everyone that he was teaching, and say, hey, you guys go and wrestle with this. Go to community group, and I want you to go and talk about what this means, because together it's in the questioning and the wrestling that you will come to discover what Jesus is teaching, this deep truth that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven, about how God shows up in this world. Any idea how many questions Jesus asked in the four Gospels? Give me a couple thoughts here. How many questions did Jesus ask? What? None? Ooh. Way more. Four? Okay. Dozens? Like, what are you talking, like 10 dozen? Baker's dozen? 4 to 6 dozen. So what's that about? Let's see if my math's any good. Cloud man, math man over there. Four dozen. So we're looking at about like 50 to 70, somewhere in there, right? Try 307. 307 questions. Here's three of my favorite. And these are deep questions. Mark 4:40. Why are you terrified? What are you afraid of? Think about that one. I mean, grab a journal. I mean, these questions, man, they'll keep you going for the week, for the month. Why? Why are you terrified? What keeps you up at night? What haunts you as you lay there all alone with your thoughts? How about this one? Matthew 20:32. What do you want me to do for you? It's another one will keep you going for a while. What do you need Jesus to do in your life? What are you praying for? What are you asking God for? Or this one, Luke 8:30. It's a deep one. What is your name? And not just a thing that's stamped on your birth certificate, but names in the ancient world, they were your identity. Who are you? Who do you believe yourself to be? 307 questions like this. Jesus doesn't provide the answer, but he invites you deeper into truth by having you wrestle with these questions. It's in the wrestling that you will come to discover where God is. Israel, he who wrestles with God. You have a whole nation that's founded on this idea of wrestling with God, because it's in the wrestling where truth is discovered. Jesus as teacher, 307 questions, parable after parable, without giving an answer, but saying, here, this is how you will find truth. And then oftentimes, Jesus would ask a question, and then someone would ask a question back at Jesus. Jesus would ask another question, and then the question's like a ping pong game. They go back and forth, because when you come back and you ask a question, well, that shows that you've actually wrestled with it and you've come to an understanding of it. And so now you're asking another question, because that question is now taking you deeper and deeper. There's no end to truth. This is what Jesus is showing. The truth, you begin here, and then Jesus says, hey, truth is endless. There's so many layers to it. And you just peel back one at a time and you keep discovering more and more about these truths that Jesus is teaching. So a good teacher, what we see Jesus do is first he's opening your eyes to seeing the world in a new way, because sometimes we get stuck, we get limited, we see the world through our perspective, and we can only look at it as if we're a horse with blinders, and then Jesus removes those blinders, and now, whoo, the world's not as limited as I once thought it was. It's bigger, it's better, it's more beautiful, and then by question after question, Jesus invites us into deeper ways of experiencing the truth of who God is. And you all know this to be true. You're here this morning because you've had an experience with God. But your first experience with God, you've grown since then. You've learned more. You've seen more things. The journey is endless. This is what Jesus is teaching. Like, you come to this step, but then you realize there's another step, and then another. It's one step at a time, one question at a time. Why do the birds nest in the branches? I'm going to ask you all that next week. Why do the birds nest in the branches? And I hope you all come back with 15 questions each. And then the third role of a good teacher is that a good teacher empowers you. This is Mark chapter 6. Verse 7, Jesus called the 12 to him, and he began to send them out two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. The disciples, the 12, they have been traveling with Jesus for a while. They've been watching. He's invited them into his life, and now he is sending, you've seen how I've done things. I am going to grant you the same power the Spirit has granted. I'm now going to give this to you. You go and do what you've seen me do. And so the 12 go out, and then it continues in verse 30. After this, they come back, and the apostles gathered, Mark 6:30, the apostles gathered to Jesus, and they told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. It's like, hey, Master, Jesus, we saw you do this, and now we just went and taught this. We saw you cast out unclean spirits. Now we were casting out unclean. Like, it was amazing. And so what does Jesus say? Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. He's like, come on, let's go to Applebee's, guys. Let's go. Because they were going back to debrief and talk about all they'd experienced. Because I guarantee you, they were excited, but there were things that also didn't quite go the way in which they had envisioned. They taught something, people walked away. They were up there teaching, and they forgot about something that Jesus had said. And they're like, ooh, I got to go back and ask Jesus that question later. But what Jesus was doing all throughout his time here on this earth, he was empowering disciples to take what he was teaching, what he was embodying, and then to go and do likewise. Think about the coming of the Spirit, right? The Spirit was coming to empower so that followers of Jesus then and now can go out and live the type of life that Jesus was teaching, a life that models God for the world, a life of experiencing God's love and then passing that love then on to others, which then leads to a question. What was the purpose of Jesus's teachings? Why was Jesus teaching? If you show up to a math class, chances are you know what that teacher is going to be teaching. Algebra, geometry. If you go to a science class, they're going to be teaching something about science. So you know what the curriculum is. So what was the curriculum of Jesus? And in order to answer that question, we have to talk about the book of Matthew for a moment. Because what Matthew does is utterly profound. Matthew begins his gospel by paralleling the story of Moses. In the beginning of Matthew's gospel, Herod, he wants to murder all the young babies. Is this not what we saw when Moses was born? The Pharaoh, afraid, decided that he was going to send out this edict to go and murder young boys. So then Mary and Joseph flee with Jesus to Egypt, and then they are called out of Egypt. Moses also came out of Egypt. What Matthew is doing is he's setting up his story to say that Jesus is a new Moses. We had Moses back in the day. Well, now we have a new Moses. And then Moses goes on top of a mountain in order to receive the Ten Commandments. He comes down with these commandments and he passes them on to the Israelites. So here's Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. So remember, we have Herod. We have the flight out of Egypt. And now, seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them. And then we have the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' greatest hits. With Moses, we have Ten Commandments, we have tablets, we now have a person. What is it the Ten Commandments were teaching? How to live as free humans. Because remember, the Israelites, they had been enslaved for 400 years. They didn't know how to live as free men and women. They had been told for 400 years how to live their life. They were slaves. Last week, we talked about the movement from servants to friends. The Israelites, before they were released, well, Pharaoh didn't quite really release them, but before they ran into the desert, into the wilderness. Oh, and that's another point too. Before we get to the mountain, Jesus was in the wilderness, which is another Moses experience when he saw that burning bush. So now the Israelites, back to the Ten Commandments, they were taught, this is how you live as free men and women. This is how you live into your truest identity. This is exactly what Jesus is teaching, how to live as full humans. How to live into the truest person that God has created us to be. Jesus comes in his full humanity to lead us into our full humanity. We once had tablets, words. We now have a person who's leading and showing us what it looks like to live a life that is deeply connected with God. All of Jesus's teachings were pointed towards that. You want to live a life that's true to how God's created you to be? Watch my example. Live by my teachings. If you follow these commands, you will come to discover the truth in your life. You will come to embody the truth as Jesus embodied the truth. Jesus teaches us how to live into our truest humanity. It's a life of freedom. It's a life of love. It's a life of deep satisfaction as we live into the people that we were meant to be. So that's a bit about Jesus as teacher, opening our eyes to seeing the world in a bigger way, inviting us deeper into truth, and then empowering us to go and take these teachings and live them out in our lives. Let me pray for us.